Blog Talk Radio.
Get out of here,
But I'm glad I did. It was the USDA department. I had applied for being able to take the EBT card, which is like food stamps and SNAP and that kind of stuff, people who have those cards, and they approved it this morning. I have to send them a couple of pieces of paper because I also told them that to avoid waste and you know, to save product, that I was going to be dehydrating microgreens that, you know, we couldn't sell at the market. And, you know, and then they told me that that would also qualify. You know, people could buy that with the on the EBT card too. You know, as long as I wasn't doing it in such a way that it was like preparing it, we're just dehydrating them. So, you know, I had a real good conversation with the lady on the line. We talked for probably 45 minutes. She was, you know, of us. She was to the name Yesteron Farms. She knew what it meant. You know, she was ready to approve the application right there. And so told me just because I wanted to dehydrate and sell the microgreens that way in that form as well, she said she would approve that. And so all I have to do is update the website to say that's what we're doing. And she said she will approve it Monday morning because Tuesday she was leaving going to Jamaica. But, yeah, it's good because, you know, she was familiar with our walk. She was very much into the scriptures, and so we had a very good conversation, you know, concerning the scriptures and the condition of our people, and she was very much an herbalist and, you know, knew a lot about nutrition. I told her I would be contacting her outside of that application. She left me her email address because she is she was very knowledgeable, and then, you know, because she works for the USDA, then other things that I wanted to do that requires the USDA, I'm going to see if she has knowledge concerning that, such as getting farm loans and things like that. So those go through the USDA. A blessing, and I thank y'all for her, but I also, you know, think that she approved this so that there are people at the farmer's market, like some of the vendors were, you know, coming to me and saying, you know, hey, I would buy more if you took the EBT card. Everybody out there, you know, all vendors, if your food is prepared, cooked or anything like that, and you prepare it, the people can't use the EBT card for that. But if it's used in preparing food, then they can use their EBT card for it. So I'm glad the Most High had me to go this route, and it should increase our sales a lot. And I'm going to start looking for markets in different parts of the city. Because right now, the markets that I am focusing on, they are the elderly, you know, people who are retired, in those situations. So, and a lot of poor people don't, you know, aren't in those, in the areas where I'm at, and most poor people can't afford to eat this way. And the government wants them to, you know, to eat healthier. So I'm going to look at, you know, where else can I get in so that, you know, we can go to those areas and sell there as well. Anyway, that was, you know, the update on that. It's time for the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and we're going to go ahead and enter into it. So we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We are going to be talking about what the Bible says about adultery, spiritual adultery first, and then adultery in the flesh. Because a lot of people don't realize that adultery is a very serious offense. And he accuses Israel of it. And when we are worshiping and mixing our worship with other gods, and we may not be aware that we are, then we commit spiritual adultery against the Most High. And it's very grievous to him that we when we do this. So we're going to talk about this subject on tonight. Y'all willing that we will finish it tonight. If not, we'll finish it in the morning. The feast day calendar, I've still got to update the website, but I'm going to send it out through email, the days that we're going to be celebrating this year. And then I will, as soon as I finish this other lesson, going through the Book of Enoch and going through some other things to show why we keep the lunar and why these things are still ordained. The Most High never said to stop doing these things. He said he hated the way Israel kept his new moons and his Sabbaths. Their spiritual condition, their disobedience, the way they would approach him as though they were righteous, a nation that did righteousness, but they were in sin. But they were approaching him like they weren't. And so this is what he hated. He didn't hate his, he didn't hate the days that he established, but he hated the way Israel kept them. And so we're going to look at this, and we have the Passover, which is coming up in April, the 4th of April this year. We got the first of Nisan, which is the beginning of the year, and I use that day to teach the birth of Messiah in accordance with the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and how the Most High fed it. It was Elohim tabernacling with us. It also was prophetic about the birth of Messiah, that he would be born at that time, not the 25th of December, but that he would be born in the springtime, and he would be born at the beginning of the year, the start of the year. He is a new beginning. His birth also would happen at that same time. So I will use that, you know, time to teach those precepts. We will celebrate his birth because we don't celebrate Christmas. And then we will celebrate, I will teach the heave offering or the Feast of First Fruits. The church, the Christian church, calls it Easter, but the Most High had already given it a name, the Feast of First Fruits. Okay, and that's also coming up in April, but we want to have the concept down and walk in it and understand, you know, what we're entering into when we celebrate these days. So I will teach those precepts so that when we celebrate those things, we're not doing it in ignorance, but we are celebrating him in spirit and in truth. All right, that being said, let me have the ladies cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us face the east. When we were in the land of our captivity, whether it was far or near, that if we turn toward Israel and the house that he built, when we said our prayers, that he prayed that the Most High would hear our prayers. So we're going to go ahead and start this Shabbat. All right. Would everybody in that stature, then let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am to then directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Father. We bow down and we worship you on this day, and we obey your commandments, Father, and we keep your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times, Father. So we take this time now and we honor your word, Father, and we honor your commandments. It is you that we bow down to, Father, and no other. We worship no other God, for you are our Elohim, and there is none like unto you, O Father. No, not one. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And we just thank you on today for even considering to make us your children. Hallelujah. For we are not worthy, Father. We are not worthy. Hallelujah. But you, Father, have thought to stoop down and to pick us up and to glorify us with you. And we just thank you on this day, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our slain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are turning from our sins and repenting from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would obey, and they would come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And let us go to the scriptures. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The book chapter 8. And I'm going to personalize this in our reading because these are the scriptures that the Most High put on my heart the past year, year and a half. That we should be reading in reference to Israel. And when the Gentile chooses to join Israel, they become part of Israel. So he says there is neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Messiah. We are all one in him. So this prayer also applies to anybody who is the Most High has made Israel, Jew or Gentile. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land, whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perverse, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemy, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. and forgive thy people Israel that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I say, a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which I, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8 and 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. It is the Shabbat. We are commanded to blow the shofar in the Shabbat. I'm going to let the professional do it today.
Thank you. It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? See, God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day start switching, but no mention a Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles, like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the many? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow direction? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there's no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take hallowed issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for his deception.
I'm just giving loving the message.
Seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace and just by faith. I was taught to listen to what my pastor say, only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. Like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy.
It is written that his word don't change.
Why do you lie and defy the Holy Scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done.
Everybody all over the world, no matter what country you're in, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ in the English. And we pray that you are serving him faithfully. I was going to start this precept a different way, but the Most High has led me to start it here. Go to the book of Luke chapter 19. The book of Luke chapter 19, and we're talking about spiritual adultery. And I want to start here because I want you to know the type of Elohim that you are dealing with, and that he don't play. So when it comes to being in a relationship with him, he don't play there either. Okay? And a lot of people take being in a relationship with the Most High, they take it too lightly. And they take spiritual adultery too lightly. So Luke chapter 19, verses 21 and 22. Now this is the man who was given the talent, and he was told to do something with it. And he had one talent, and he feared losing that talent. And so he went and hid it. And then he came back to his master, which is the Most High, and said, hey, I hid your talent, and I didn't do anything with it. Here it is delivered safely back into your hands. And the Most High was mad at him. Messiah was mad at him. You should at least put it in the bank that I might have drawn interest off of it. But you didn't do that. So he says, so now in verse 21, the man says, for I view, because thou art an austere man. Underline that word austere in your Bible, because most people don't realize that Messiah, Mosai, is a austere type of individual. And this word austere means rough. You don't play with him. You disrespect him, you don't get backhand. You disrespect him, you actually can look to be killed. You don't play. I knew thou was an austere man, a rough man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Messiah saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. He didn't deny this. He didn't say, no, I'm not austere. I'm not rough. I'm peaceable. I'm merciful. I'm kind. I'm mild. No, I will go to your behind. You disrespect me. I'm here on a mission right now to help you get back into the kingdom, to save you from your sins, to save you from my anger, from my wrath. But you knew I was a rough man. And you didn't go do what I told you to do. So understand that the Most High is rough. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind to those that love him. If you don't love him, if you're his enemy, ain't nobody can help you. Nobody. If you're his enemy. If you get on his bad side. So I want you to have that frame of mind when we go to Exodus chapter 20. Now we read these as part of our statement of faith, part of the scriptures that, but I want you to understand that Exodus chapter 20 is about relationships. And so a lot of churches don't teach this correctly. I mean, some of it is self-explanatory. But then you're not realizing that you're entering into a relationship with the Most High. And you're entering into a relationship that is akin to marriage. It's intimate. And so he don't want you playing with other gods. Look at this. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. I am Yah thy Elohim. He's identifying himself. Who's talking? I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have, and I'm going to make this, I'm going to put this in a carnal way, in a fleshly way, because we are fleshly beings. And we can't see the Most High. And we don't understand that it seems, well, I can't say that. It seems like we don't understand that when we are entered into a relationship with him, it's the same thing as a man and a woman entering into a relationship. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt have no other man before me. And I'm going to speak for the Most High in this case. You're not going to have any other man before me. You're not going to, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of this man. Don't have no pictures in your wallet of him. Don't have no likeness of him anywhere. And I don't want you, we can't see the Most High, so he says, I don't want you making any likeness of anything in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath that is in the waters under the earth, thinking that you can make a picture of me. But you're not going to have no other gods before me. And you're not going to have any pictures or images of other gods, thinking that you're worshiping me. Okay? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. You're not going to submit to them. Because, see, a lot of men out there think every woman is supposed to submit to them because they're a man and she's a woman. No, the Most High says, submit unto your husband. Submit to your father if you're a woman. He don't tell you got to submit to every man. So you're not going to bow down to every man, nor serve every man. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim. I'm a jealous man. I don't like you giving attention to other men. I don't want you giving attention to other gods. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's a strong word. You giving your attention to another man and you supposed to belong to me says you hate me. But see, we got a spirit today that says, you know, this is natural. Got one man, married to one man, got a man on the side. Well, my husband, he's security, but this man, he makes love to me better than my husband does. Talking about, you hate me. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, verse 7, this is the crux of the relationship. This is the crux of the relationship. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain. You're not going to marry me and take my name and treat it as worthless, as nothing. You just took my name and you going around, everybody seeing you with other men, you are flirting with other men, batting your eyes at them. You're not going to do that to me. You're not going to go and worship other gods and take my name and say you belong to me. This is not to say, God damn. That's a curse. That's putting a curse on someone. You're asking the Most High to damn someone. That's not taking his name in vain. Taking his name in vain is to enter into a relation with him, a relationship, and not respect the relationship, not honor it. In our cases, all the holidays, the holy days, that this nation has are dedicated to other gods, other Elohim. You may not know it, but that doesn't exist. So when you are celebrating those holy days that are not the Most High holy days, you are worshiping other gods. You are fornicating with them. And this is what the church doesn't understand. The church still celebrates a lot of things, a lot of holy days that are not of the Most High. He didn't say celebrate those days. He gave all of the feast days that he wanted celebrated. And he didn't tell us to add to them. Even though Israel tried to. So you got to understand, you don't marry him. You don't enter into a relationship with him and then be disrespectful to him, disobey him. It says, because for Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name, that marries him in vain. Don't trust him. Don't believe what he says. Don't obey him. Just try to use them to your benefit. This is my sugar daddy. When I'm in trouble, he get me out of trouble. When I need my bills paid, he come make my, you know, pay my bills. In the meantime, I got one or two others over here. Valentine's Day is coming up. People don't realize that Valentine's Day is tied to another god. But we rush to celebrate these things. and we mix them with another God. He said, I ain't into that. We not having no orgy here. We're not having no menage however they say that word. It ain't me, you, and some other God. You come doing that to me, you make yourself my enemy. I'm a rough Elohim. I don't play that stuff. So this spiritual adultery is a grievous thing. It's grievous. And so this is what we're going to talk about on this night. Because we don't want to take his name in vain. We don't want to say that we're entering into a covenant with him and then disrespect the covenant, break the covenant, and say, oh, he's understanding. He said, no, I just told you I'm a rough man. I don't play that stuff. And it costs you your life. So understand who you're dealing with. The God of the Bible is kind, loving, and merciful. If you obey him, he understands you don't know everything. He understands that you're not even perfect. But he don't play you playing around on him. And we got to understand that. Now, the church says that they keep all but the keeping the Sabbath. But they are taking his name in vain and saying that, oh, he's merciful. I can just sin and I can just betray him and I can just worship other deities and he'll forgive me. That's satanic. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It's not the Elohim of this Bible. He doesn't roll that way. So let's look at this thing. So I hope I've set the foundation for all of us that we understand who we are dealing with. We're dealing with an austere, a rough God. And because we don't see judgment coming right away, we think that we have escaped something. We think we've gotten away with something. He said, no, it's being written down. Everything you're doing is being written down. And I'm going to judge you according to your work. I'm going to judge you according to how you treated me. I'm going to judge you according to how you treated your fellow man. So you're not getting away with anything. I've appointed a day. I ain't got time to keep killing y'all every day, day in and day out. I'd be killing forever. I've appointed a day. And then I'm going to get everybody who disrespected me, everybody who took my name in vain, everybody who thought they were coming into my kingdom in a good standing relationship with me, but they had eyes for another man. They had eyes for another guy. You don't get to do that to me and just think that you're going to walk away unpunished. Spiritual adultery is unfaithfulness to Elohim. It's unfaithfulness to him. It is having an undue fondness for the things of this world. Because he tells us all that is in the world is the love, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They're not of me. They're not my ways. So it's having a fondness for this world above him. How you can please yourself rather than obey him. Spiritual adultery is it's analogous to unfaithfulness to one's status. And we're going to read the scriptures that point us in that direction so you don't just say that, oh, Brother Miles, that's your understanding. No, I'm going to give you the word. You know me. I'm going to give you straight up out of the word. But I'm on the Most High side. So I'm going to take this position. So the Most High says, in this unfaithfulness like a spouse, he says, but like a woman faithless to her lover, even so have you been faithless to me, O house of Israel, saith God. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yah. Just like an unfaithful wife sneaking out on her husband, flirting with other men, sleeping with other men, so have you done to me. So have you dealt with me treacherously. So he's comparing Israel to a woman. And understand that when we come to Messiah, whether we are Jew or Gentile, we are one entity. And we enter into this covenant relationship with the Most High. And we agree to this covenant. So the church understands that, hey, we got these first four commandments. Time. Be worshiping other deities. Wait a minute. Didn't I tell you not that, hey, I'm the only man in your life? You don't go in and be fornicating with these other men. You don't have a change of heart toward me. You don't treat me like I'm nothing. That don't matter. This is what Israel was doing to the Most High, and this is what the church is doing today. Committing adultery and not understanding that that's what they're doing. And then saying at the same time that the Most High loves me. No, he don't. He says, I love them that love me. And if you love me, you would keep my commandments. You would obey my voice. You wouldn't be going worshiping other deities. Because I'm a jealous God. Because we love to have time off to do what we want to do. We don't even look into the quote-unquote holy days, holidays of the world that they celebrate that we take part in. Every single one of them is tied to a God. That's why they call it a holy day. We just say holiday. But it's a holy day. And when you dig into it, you find out that it's tied to some deity from some country. And somebody thought that it sounded good. Oh, let's do that too. And then even when they realized that it was to another deity, they said, oh, well, we'll just dedicate it to We'll dedicate it to Christ. We'll put his name in it. Most High said, you don't do that. You're not supposed to worship me like they worship their God. So you're going to continue to worship the way that they worship and tie me to it. He said, I don't play that. I don't play that. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. The book of Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 21. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, the Most High talks about Jerusalem a lot, but Jerusalem is a city. So when he's talking about Jerusalem, he's really talking about the inhabitants of the city and how they behave. How is the faithful city become an harlot, a whore? How has this happened? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. The city didn't murder anybody. He's talking about the people within the city. And at one time, the men and the women in the city practiced righteousness. They practiced being lawful. That's what righteousness means. They practiced obeying the laws of the Most High. And they were right in the eyes of the Most High. He says, but how has the city become a harlot? That means that the city started worshiping other gods, the people in the city. Solomon was super guilty of it. The wisest man in the world, sleeping with all these strange women, started trying to please these women by making altars to their gods. In the city of the Most High, fornicating with these other gods. See, because when you worship another god, you're fornicating with them. And because we got this spirit that, you know, we can sleep around. We can sleep with somebody and then go sleep with somebody else. And we can be married and still love our spouse and sleep with somebody else. For a woman, the Most High said, that's a no-no, period. He always expected that the woman would have one husband, period. He always expected that his people would have one Elohim, period. Even though he has many people, his people only supposed to have one Elohim, one God. So let's look at this. How is the faithful city become a harlot? By fornicating with other Elohims and still saying, I still want to worship the Most High. I still want to serve him. But you know, I got a problem keeping my spiritual legs closed. I still like the attention of other men. I still like what these other gods, how they want to be worshipped. I like doing those things. But I still love the Most High. Now, let's go to Isaiah 57 and 8. 7. And verse 8. And read this carefully with me. Behind the doors also, behind closed doors, and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. You didn't expose yourself to another than me. And art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed. You got more in your bed, sleeping with more God than with me. And made thee a covenant, a contract with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. You love the way that they said to worship them, to honor them, to adore them, other than me. And I'm your husband. You enlarge your bed. You're sleeping with more than one person. You're sleeping with more than one Elohim. And you love their bed. My husband don't make love to me right, but I like what you do. This is what the Most High is saying. You entered into a relationship with me, and you got a problem keeping your legs closed. Problem being dedicated. And anybody that will pay you some attention, you quit. Let me read that again, because we got to understand this. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and are gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant, a contract with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. Cheating, name in vain. You married him and you love another. Trying to play it safe, I want security, but I don't want to obey you. You just too hard. You just too strict. Your standard too high for me. So I want to be with you because it's safe. But I ain't all that with you. So I'm finding me somebody else, and I'm going, taking them up to my bed. Hear what the Most High is saying. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Because see, when we get like this in the world, it's very easy for us to translate this over into our spiritual life. We think that because we can get away with it in the world, that we can get away with it with the Most High. And he says, no, I'm an austere man. I'm a rough man. And you can't fool me. You can't hide it from me. Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 30. And the word of the Most High reads, how weak is thine heart, saith Yah Elohim, seeing thou dost all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. Those are rough words. Now, let me state something here. We got a lot of brothers that think that they ought to talk to their wives this way out of insecurity, because a lot of the brothers are insecure in their own selves. And the woman may not be doing anything, but because of how they've been treated by another woman, they think you will treat them the same way. But the truth of the matter is, if you are an honorable woman, then that should show in your walk. You should never give your man any type of reason to doubt you. Especially if you know that he's been through a relationship where the woman wasn't honorable. Now, that is, and I'm going to say this, you know, it might make somebody mad, but truth is truth, okay? Let's just be real. If 69% of your children are being born out of wedlock, say that 69% of the women are sleeping around unmarried. And they're doing it with the men. Trust me, the men are just as much to blame. But that's what that says. 69% of all the single women got caught because the number of women fornicating and running around these days, probably 99.5%, 99.9%. There's always the exception to the rule. They didn't get caught. They didn't get pregnant. Because that's the nature of our society. But we bring that same spirit into our spiritual walk. And that's a problem. Because the Most I don't play. So we know we have to get rid of this spirit in our natural life so that it doesn't transfer in the men likewise. But the Most High has equated this relationship to a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. So I have to speak to it in that manner. The Bible tells us that people who choose to be friends with the world are an adulterous people, having hatred against Elohim. Go to James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4. When we take the side of the world, when we, you know, we grew up in this world. And for the most of us, can't speak for everybody, we didn't grow up walking and living a righteous life. I can speak for myself. I didn't. And most of the people I know didn't. So we knew the ways of the world. James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. You adulterers and adulteresses, a man, adulteress is a woman. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity or hatred, is opposition with Elohim? You are in opposition to him when you practice this in the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim. You're not his friend. When you love the world more than you love him, when you are worshiping other deities and thinking that you can still worship him, then he says, you're my enemy. You're not my friend, my enemy. You don't want the Most High as an enemy. It can't nobody deliver you out of his hand. There is nobody that can save you from him. So you have to be very careful when you enter into this relationship. Well, you know, I love God, but there ain't no but in it. He speaks in absolute. You don't get to do this and get away with it. So he calls us adulterers and adulteresses. Loving the world and the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, of the eye, and the pride of life. He said, that ain't of me. Somebody else has taught you that. The enemy has taught you that. See who you can get with. Oh, we just, it's human nature. you know, 12, 13, 9, 10, your body starts to change, you become sexually curious. And then, you know, in this society, if some boy can talk you into laying with him, then it's okay, especially today. Oh, you know, what age should they start having sex? Sit down and have this conversation with your child. You know, you're 16 years old. You old enough to start having sex. Mosiah says, if you ain't married, you shouldn't be having no sex. That's fornication. That's sex outside of marriage. So we have all of our young women out here fornicating, watching pornos, trying to find out what the world is doing in the bed so that they might learn it. And you got the young boys doing it too and demanding that the girls do it. And the Most High says, all right, you going and you celebrating Valentine's Day, you celebrating Easter, you're celebrating Christmas, you're celebrating Halloween. Those are porno movies, spiritual porno movies. Finding out how to fornicate with the God of that holiday. And then you go and put it up outside your house. Decorate your house. Decorate your yard. Buy you some holiday clothes. Saying that, hey, this is who I'm worshiping. And we don't look at it that way. But the Most High does. And you say, you belong to me? You don't belong to me. You belong to that. And no matter how many times I forgive you, you always seem to choose those things over me. You want me because I'm safe. Because I provide security. But you want to do what you want to do. Friends of the world. The evil system. The system that's under Satan's control. And Satan wants you to do everything that is contrary to the Most High. Most High, why did you choose him? What is man? This is Satan talking. What is man that thou art so mindful that you pay so much attention to him? What is he? In the scriptures, in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, it's only recorded that the Most High said, I know what you know not. But in the Quran, the Most High tells Satan, this is my child. You the servant. Well, I'm going to get your child to fall because I know you got to stick by your word. This is what Satan is doing. I know you got to stick by your word. So if I get your child to fall, you got to destroy your child like you're going to destroy me. So Satan introduced all these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Through institutions, through status. You want to be like the rich people. Look like they're living in luxury. We want to obtain something in life. So we got to do these things. The Most High says, no, that's not what I told you. But that's what Satan told you. And we ate it up. Because the Most High sent us into the land of our enemies, our captors, and said, you will worship God's wooden stone that your fathers did not know. And they worship some things they didn't know. And you're going to worship some stuff they don't even know. And you're going to be doing stuff they wouldn't even have dared to do. That's how far off track we are. Satan has seduced us like he seduced Eve. And it don't take a lot to seduce somebody. You got to get them to believe a little bitty lie. Let me convince you enough to open your legs. Let me in. Whatever that is, let me into your mind. Let me cause you to think other than what the Most High has said. Then you're going to start doing what's right in your own eyes. You're going to start looking at things that others are doing when the Most High said specifically, this is how I want you to treat me. This is what I want you to do with me. Oh, but you know, they worship their God like this, and that seems good. What's a little bit of harm with a little man or a little angel with a bow and arrow shoot somebody in the heart and now they fall in love with somebody? What's so wrong with that? We justify it. That's Satan. That's the enemy. Because he knows that that little angel that you see with the bow and the arrow represents a deity, a god. But it sounds right because it makes me feel good. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved by somebody. And the God that we serve, the way he wants me to enter into this relationship, I can't find nobody that will be in a relationship like that. So I'll be in a relationship like the world says. Let's move on here. You adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity, is hatred with Elohim? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? We envious of everything. We want everything. We want what other people got. We covet it. Oh, you got status. You got the big car, the big house. You got land and all these cars and jewelry. The spirit lusteth to envy. Do you think the scriptures say that in vain? Man's nature. Now, verse more great. Wherefore he said, Elohim resists the proud. You have to come out of pride, because Most High hates pride. And if he says he resists it, he's against it. And you can't outdo him. But he giveth grace unto the humble. You have to humble yourself before your husband, your Elohim. I was wrong. And I'm not going to serve these other deities anymore. Or you can stay in your pride. You know, ain't nothing wrong with showing some affection this way. Ain't nothing wrong with worshiping on this day. Ain't nothing wrong with whatever that holiday, that holy day is about and the deity associated. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Who am I hurting? That's your pride speaking too. It says, an Elohim will resist you. He won't be with you. He'll be against you. You are his enemy. But I love him. Really? Is this how you treat your man? In a lot of cases, yes. Bring that same spirit from the carnal world into the relationship with the Most High. Let's go to John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12, 31. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's talking about Satan. This worldly system was set up by Satan, and it's under Satan's control. And as long as you let yourself stay in the world, your God is Satan. No matter what you might think, your lover is Satan. You saying you married to the Most High, but you got another lover. You just don't know it. If you love this world and the ways of this world and the things of this world, then he tells you. That's your lover. That's the one you've taken up to your bed. Your spiritual bed. And you're sleeping with him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 2, 1 and 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin. When we sin, we die spiritually. And the more we sin, the more desensitized to sin we become. The more dead spiritually we become. In some cases, unrevivable. Can't be shocked. Can't have open heart surgery. Can't have your heart circumcised. It's the skin on it is so thick from sin that by the time the Most High finished cutting, there ain't enough left. People get that way. And don't know they're that way and still want to say they worship in the Most High, but if he circumcised the foreskin of their heart, there would be nothing there. Because they've been so steeped in sin. And don't want to, out of pride, rebel or repent, not rebel, but repent of it. Want to hold on to some stuff. Never fully submitting to the Most High. Ever. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. This is supposed to have been you in the past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the God of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. Through the music, through the thought, through your mind, the prince of the air. the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Obedience. Not obeying the Most High. I ain't got to keep his laws. I ain't got to keep his commandments. I ain't got to keep his statutes. I ain't got to keep his judgments. I ain't got to keep his ordinances. That's for them. But I'm his child. What? You are a disobedient child, and you don't expect, in this case, it's not just a beating coming, it's a killing. Let's look at what the Most High tells us to do to our children who are disobedient. He don't have a lesser standard. He say, if you got a child that disobeys you, that dishonors you, that disrespects you, that curses you or hits you, then that child is supposed to be killed. That's the law. That's his judgment. You think he's going to be any lighter on us when it comes to us and him? He's not going to put a standard on us and say, oh, yeah, if that happens, this is what I want you to do. But then when it comes to us and him, no, I'm not going to do that to you. You know, I'm going to be all forgiving. I'm not going to put a burden. He's not going to put a burden on you to say, you need to do this. And then when it comes to you and him, he's not going to do it. See, that's a lie. That's a twisting of the scripture. That is actually satanic. That's what Satan does. He twists the word of the Most High. Change one word here, one word there. Change the concept and get you to believe it because it's easier on you and you want easier. Elohim forbid that we should have to suffer through something, through nothing. We don't want to have to put up with nothing. No, Most High, that's too hard. I'd rather believe what science says, what the psychologist says. So you go ahead with your bad self. But I got something for you. You one of those children of disobedience. You don't want to do what I said to do. You want to do what you want to do. And you want to use them to justify your actions. You're really a child of Satan. And he has deceived you. Or you are willingly doing it. Either way. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. How? In the lust of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, your flesh really is only going to do what's in your mind. And we have gotten so... if we can imagine it, somebody trying to do it. I don't care how perverse it is. I don't care how far out it might sound, how unthinkable it might sound. Somebody is doing it. And when we let our children be exposed to porn and that spirit is showing, hey, you can do this, you can do that. You can do this, you can do that, anything that you may imagine. Now imagine a man or a young man or a young woman growing up under that spirit. They bring that spirit into their marriage. Then all of a sudden they want a relationship with the Most High. They still got that spirit. And they don't want to let go of that spirit. Because in a lot of cases, it defines them. Don't nobody blankety, blankety, blank like me. My milkshake bring all the boys to the park. All these things They have the attitude, the spirit, and it translates into your spiritual life. So if you got the spirit of lust, and you read the scriptures, don't think that you're going to get a holy translation out of the scriptures. You will translate those scriptures through the spirit of lust. And it could be saying something completely opposite to what you're saying, but because you are translating to that spirit, that's what it means to you. And you'll be looking up every scripture that has to say something about pleasure. And even if it's talking about against seeking pleasure, you will translate it that you're supposed to be seeking pleasure. I condone this. That's what your mind will tell you. Because really, your God is not the Most High. The spirit that's translating for you is the spirit of Satan. That's the other lover in the room. That's the one you snuck up to the bedroom with, and not the Most High. Now, can you imagine our sons and daughters, and this is what they're exposed to? What type of spirituality do you think they're going to have? They might have a certain degree that, hey, you know, I might try that, but I ain't going to try that. But they don't even know that that which they are thinking about trying or would try is against the Most High. It's just all right with them. So when Israel was worshiping Baal, in your Bible, was worshiping Baal from the Midianites and from the Moabites, that was their God. And the Most High hadn't even been a year or two that he told Israel, don't worship other gods. Well, their gods say, we can have sex as part of worship. And their priesthood are prostitutes, literally prostitutes, telling you that if you have sex with them as part of your worship, you're going to be closer to their God. And you're going to be prosperous. And he's going to bless you. And he's going to make sure that you prosper. He's going to protect you. And if you bring me your young daughter, dress her in a new dress. Give her this basket with Easter eggs in it, with eggs and bunnies in it. Bring her to the altar. We'll bless her too. We'll have sex with her. And she'll be fertile. Whatever the heart can imagine. There's nothing new up under the sun. Men and women have been doing it. And at the same time saying, they love the Most High. You saw the Most High split the Red Sea. You saw him rain down manna out of heaven. You saw him fly the quails in 3 feet deep, 10 miles wide, every day. You saw him make a rock, a flint rock that makes fire. You saw him make water come out of that. And then he made that rock follow you around the wilderness and provide water for you every day. And then you still go and worship another god. Because you know, Most High, you feeding me. You looking to my base needs. But you know, this lust thing, this not having sex thing, this pleasure thing, this you wanted me to only do this when I'm married, but over here, they don't care. They don't care. I think I want to go over here. Oh, you want to go fornicate over there. Not just with their women, but against me too. Spiritual adultery. First John, chapter 5. The book of First John, chapter 5. Verse 19. Yeah, verses 18 and 19. Because if you belong to him, and you got to obey him, we know that whosoever is born of Elohim sinneth not. Oh, we can't, there's no way we cannot sin. We're not perfect. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. When you have been converted, you're not going to make those mistakes. You're not going to do what you know is wrong. Especially when you know what it means. Especially when you haven't been taught the lie. You know, if I sin, if I fall, if I'm doing something I know I'm not supposed to be doing, he is true and just to forgive me if I confess. See, that's a lie. Whosoever is born of Elohim sins not. But he that is begotten of Elohim keepeth himself. You gotta know not to sin. You gotta keep yourself from sinning. You gotta avoid it. You don't say, oh, yeah, I belong to the Most High, but oh, wait a minute. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows I have needs and desires. You gotta keep yourself. Until the Most High can make it where you can enter into that a relationship righteously, right in his eyes, you got to maintain. You got to keep yourself. And that wicked one touches him not. If you are born of Elohim, that's why I say, if being a son of Elohim, if being a child of Elohim, let me start over there. Let me make this clear. Everyone, just because they are human, is not a child of the Most High. That's why Messiah said, I came that you might become the sons of Elohim, that you might become a child of the Most High. You have to be born of Elohim. That means to be filled with his spirit. Got to be born of him. Then you're not going to sin willfully. And he will teach you. He will cause you to learn what is against him. So that thing that you were doing ignorantly, you learn about it, and you're going to keep yourself from it. Okay, Most High, I didn't know that was sin. I'm not going to do it anymore. I repent of it. I turn away from it. I'm not going to do that. Not I'm struggling with it. Because you don't do struggle. Once you know, you're accountable. But he that is begotten of Elohim keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of Elohim, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. If you are not all about the Most High, and you have still got the nature of the world, you lie in wickedness. You are of wickedness. Corrupt. Corrupt in mind, corrupt in body, corrupt in spirit. And nobody can't tell you you're corrupt. Because when the programming is bad, the program don't know it's bad. Unless there's some error checking put in. That's what the scriptures are, error checking. But when you won't follow the error checking and correct yourself by an error in you, if you make an excuse and say, well, you know, you just have to forgive me for that. That's your corrupt mind telling you that. That's that adulterous spirit telling you that. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So if the whole world lies in wickedness, and then you are of the world, you are in the world, you follow the tenets of the world, then you have to know that you are fornicating and committing adultery with the world, with the God of the world. That devil, that serpent. Because he doesn't do it blatantly. He didn't seduce Eve just straight up. He used subtlety. Let me just change one word here, and if you don't catch it, and you believe what I say, you belong to me. Because now you believe a lie. And you're going to walk in that lie because you believe it. That's how he operates. The world's values are phony. They don't lie in truth. They set you on worthless pursuits. You know, I'll be somebody if I become a lawyer. I'll be somebody if I become a doctor. I'll be somebody if I was the president of the United States. Never I'll be somebody if I'm a child of the Most High. The world ain't going to teach you that. The world is going to teach you contrary to that. The world is going to teach you unnatural affection. Let me pretend that I like you, because you got something I want. Let me tell you what you want to hear, because you got something I want. I need you to do something for me. Unnatural affection. Laugh in your face, smile in your face, hug you, pat you on the back. In a lot of cases, we'll go as far as to sleep with you. Not because they love you, or not because they have a true affection for you. Oh, I'm just trying to scratch the itch. Oh, you know, I was pillow talk and I needed to seduce you and talk to you because you work for this company and you know what's going on and I need an insight. No natural affection at all. But what can I get out of you? And all of that's designed to lure us away from the Most High, from the pure relationship that he wants with us and that he wants us to have with our fellow man, the genuine type of love that he wants us to have. That's all designed to draw us away from that. Let me get you looking over here. Let me get you acting that way. Let me make these things important to you, so that you're not looking at the Most High. You're not obeying his voice. You're not walking in his ways. And let me get you to worship in this way. Let me get you to saying it's okay to observe these things. It's not hurting nobody. I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm going to tell you enough to get you to walk after me. Satan. And makes you believe you're walking after your God. That he don't mind. He's all merciful. He's all kind. He's all forgiving. You get away. when Satan knows that the Most High don't play. And he knows he has but a short while. And he already knows what his end is. He just wants you to follow. What is man that thou art so mindful of him? Why you don't treat us that way? You created us first. Why you treat man so special? I'm gonna trip your son up. I'm gonna trip your daughter up. Because you are the Elohim, the spirit of truth. You gotta stick by your word, and the Most High will. You fall for Satan, the Most High gonna stick by his word. Satan knows that. Same punishment he got coming, you gonna get. The Most High, the lake of fire is designed to torment spirits, not flesh and blood. So I'm going to give you eternal life, turn you into a spirit, and then throw you in the lake. You can't die, because the spirit can't die. And the fire is not designed to make you die. The fire is designed to torment you. Satan knows where he's ending up at. He knows it's already been written. He knows the Most High has already spoken it, and it shall come to pass. And he knows the Most High is not going to have a different standard for you than he has for him. If you follow him, you're going to get the same punishment. If you commit fornication with him, if you commit adultery with him, you're going to get the same punishment. He knows that. So if I just tell you right out, no, you're going to run from me. But if I can seduce you, if I can beguile you, if I can make you believe something that ain't true, it's partially true, but it's not the whole truth. It's enough to get you off track. It's enough to stop you from worshiping the Most High and following him, obeying him, then I'm successful. That's what he's saying. I'm successful. Spiritual adultery is forsaking Elohim's love and embracing the world's values and desires. I love you. I'm giving you a standard out of my love that will keep me from destroying you, that will let you lead righteous, productive lives. And the enemy wants you to live a destructive life. He wants you to forsake my love and take his. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to get verses 7 and 8. Now, this is talking about the carnal mind. You see, if you don't have the Spirit of the Most High, whether you know it or not, I don't care how you want to process it, you're processing with your carnal mind, with your natural mind. And so you're going to make sense of the scriptures out of your carnal mind. You're going to make decisions based upon your flesh, based upon what seems quote-unquote natural, natural in this world, makes sense to the way that the world is. I need to survive. It's carnal. Before we read this, let me get another verse. I need to get this verse. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 14. Because this is what we're dealing with. And we're going to come back to Romans chapter 8. The natural man. And if we have not been born again of the Spirit of the Most High, we are still a natural man, a natural woman. we're going to interpret everything out of our flesh, out of our natural mind. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of Elohim, of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. See, a lot of the things that I know the Most High has me to teach, to a lot of people, they are foolishness. They are interpreting them out of their natural mind. And not by the Spirit of the Most High. So he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. You can't understand what you don't know. You don't even know you don't know it. And when I'm saying you, I'm talking about the natural man. Don't know that they don't know it. But they're reading the same scriptures you're reading. And can't understand how you understand what you understand the way you understand it. Cannot receive the things of the Spirit of Elohim. For they are foolishness unto him or her. Neither can he or her know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. A different mindset. A different filter. So if we are coming from the natural man and we are trying to interpret the scriptures, a lot of things won't make sense. It just won't. And the thing about it is, you will think that the person that is the spiritual person, that something's wrong with them. You won't think that the problem is yours. Because you don't know that you don't know. You just know what you know. But what you don't know, you can't discern it, because you don't even know it to discern it. The Most High hasn't shown it to you. So we have to understand that before we go back into Romans chapter 8. So let me just read this again, because we want to make sure we don't fall into this category. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are fully discerned. A lot of brothers and sisters don't like this verse. And they don't like nobody using it on them. Oh, you think you're holier than thou. No. I didn't write this. The Most High wrote this. And so if we don't come out of the natural man, we can commit spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery and be okay with it. Because we don't even know what that really means. Our mind cannot accept that. You know what? If I observe a holiday, a holy day, that is not of the Most High, that I'm fornicating with this other Elohim, it's all right. It's not all right. It's grievous to him. You have just cheated. But if somebody cheated on us, as we consider cheating on us, we will be angry. But we expect the Most High to be all forgiving. Can't discern it. Can't understand it. Don't even know that we don't know what the truth is. We don't know it. We know what we know. We know what we're allowed to believe. And the Most High will let you believe a lie. because you won't submit yourself to him. Well, I'm going to let you believe that lie, that I might damn you. No, he wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, he will. And he does. Because you would never submit yourself to him and allow him to truly become your Elohim, truly become your husband. Relationship-wise, it's for men and women. And it's not a gay thing. And I think that's a problem with a lot of men. Not a gay thing. It's about a relationship with a being that is far superior to us. The fact that he would even consider entering into any kind of relationship with us, we should be honored. I think that the men that have a problem with this probably have a problem with, they might have a little bit of sugar in them. Feels kind of gay to me. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not gay, you're not gay. You're never going to be gay. But love another man, it ain't got nothing to do with sex. But our people are, we are homophobic. But why are you homophobic? Because secretly you have that nature. And it scares you. I'm going to just say it. Seen too many men confess that, oh, yeah, when I was a child, somebody messed with me. No way that any person can experiment with something with one of the same sex if it's not in them to do it. And then when we find out that, oh, you know, I shouldn't have those types of, the scriptures say, hey, that is absolutely wrong, but you got that nature. You got that spirit. If it wasn't you, then it would bother you that you did it. Should bother you that you did it if you did it. But that's the testimony of a lot of our men. And I'm not one of those. I don't even want nobody even going there. I'm not one of those. But I don't have a question about my sexuality. But I know there's a lot in Israel that do, and they take it out on their women, trying to prove their manhood. I am a man. Let me take it out on her. Back to the subject, though. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Understand that these things are spiritually discerned. And so, if you are carnal, what we're about to read, some of it may not make sense to you. And that's okay. Verse 1, and then we're going to call it a night. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are which are in Mashiach, who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after the natural man, but after the Spirit. And you notice that the Spirit here is capitalized, talking about the Spirit of the Most High. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua HaMashiach has made me free from the law of sin and death. Stuff on that. Because that's a lot in one verse. It deserves its own precept. For what the law could not do, in that the law, it was weak through the flesh. The law is not weak. It's our flesh that's weak. It's our minds that are weak. That's what makes the law weak. Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. How did he condemn sin in the flesh? If he didn't sin, and he can condemn sin in the flesh. Oh, you don't have to be doing that. I didn't do it. And I was tempted at all sides. Yet I sin not. You don't have to sin, so I can condemn sin in the flesh. I can condemn the natural man. Because the natural man wants to be natural. He don't want to submit himself to the Most High. Wants to do what he wants to do because it seems right to him. Cannot discern the things spiritually because they are spiritual and not natural. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We're supposed to keep the law because of what Messiah did. He condemned sin. He paid the price for it. But he didn't say, you know what? I'm going to cancel out all the law so you can't sin. Because if there was no law, there would be no sin. There would be nothing to condemn you. But the Most High said, hey, before the law, there was sin in the world. He just didn't hold people accountable to it. So we make righteous the law. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or to be naturally minded is death. Naturally minded is life and peace. Life in this life and life in the next life and peace with the Most High. You don't want to be his enemy. You want him to be on your side. But if you are disobedient, if you're proud and you're puffed up, you don't want to change. You're his enemy. You don't want to obey his voice. You're his enemy. You're not at peace. And you don't have life. You are dead in your sins, dead in trespasses and sin. Because the carnal mind is enmity. It's hatred against Elohim. It's an opposition to Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim. That's why the church can say, we ain't under the law. Because the church is operating out of a carnal mind, not a spiritual mind. You can't tell them that because they don't even know. We got the Spirit of the Most High. We automatically get it. When we get baptized, we automatically filled with the Spirit. You are alive. Feel good. They can feel safe. But it's a lie. The carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Elohim. Neither indeed can be. It's impossible for the carnal mind to follow the laws of the Most High and be in subjection to them. Because the carnal mind is going to say, hey, I want to do something else. I don't like that I can't do this or can't do that. I don't like that I'm unclean if I do this or I do that. I don't like that I can't just sleep with whoever I want to. It feels natural. Why would the Most High want to put this burden on me? The carnal mind is not going to let you think straight. And it's not going to let you bring yourself into submission to the laws of the Most High. Carnal mind to be in submission to the laws of the Most High. Because the carnal mind is of the world. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. We're all in the flesh. But we're not supposed to live by this flesh. If we have the Spirit of the Most High, then what he wants and how he wants it, when he wants it, is important to us. It's first to us. Important thing in our life. Cannot please Elohim if you're trying to please yourself. If you worry about you, You're not going to be obedient to his word. Then you can't please him. You're going to please yourself. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. There's an if condition here. Does the if condition apply to you? If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you, you must be born of the water and of the spirit. The spirit is the most. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Elohim, that is the Holy Spirit, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Mashiach, of Christ, he is none of his. Wait a minute, how many spirits you got to have in you? The spirit of Mashiach is the same spirit that was in, that is Elohim. It's the self-same spirit. So it says it a little bit different way. You got to recognize what Messiah has done. You have to recognize the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That's what Christ is. How he did it through Messiah, through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, his power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. I'm going to nail somebody to the cross for your sins. And if you believe what I did through him, with him, I'm going to give you credit for death and wipe away your sins and let you start over. And now that I've let you start over, go and sin no more. But what you know to be wrong, don't do that. I will send you somebody to teach you what else. You got to know. So that as you learn it, you confess it and don't do it. You don't say, you know what, I'm not up under that. That don't apply to me. Then I know that you're still carnal. You still of this world. You still want to stay the way that you are. You don't belong to him. Because if you had his spirit, it would not allow you to say that. Wouldn't allow it. So, but you are not in the flesh, verse 9 again, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, again, you got to have, there's only one spirit. The self-same spirit that was in Mashiach, it's the spirit of Elohim, the spirit of God, one spirit. So it may read to you in the carnal mind that there's talking about more than one spirit here. It's the same spirit. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is dead because of sin. This flesh is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, you're now going to do right. Right is defined by the Most High. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinance is right. You're going to obey. You're not going to come up with a reason as to why you don't have to obey. You're not going to come up with excuses because you can't fall short. You don't want to fall short. But if the Spirit, now, this is going to tell you exactly, if the Spirit of him that raised up Messiah, Yeshua, from the dead dwell in you. Who raised up Messiah from the dead? The Spirit of the Father. The Father raised him up from the dead. Tells you that the Holy Spirit raised him up from the dead. The Spirit of God, the Father. But that's the Spirit that was in Mashiach. To wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Self-same Spirit. Not a different spirit. You only have to be filled with one spirit. He that raised up Messiah from the dead, raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body. How? by his spirit that dwells in you. There are some camps out here that teach you. There are some camps that teach you that if you know the word of the Most High, you are filled with the spirit of the Most High. That is from hell too. So they think that all they got to do is read the Bible, study it, and they have the spirit of the Most High. In order to receive the spirit of the Most High, he has to choose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Ask yourself who's doing the calling, who's doing the choosing. You can read all this word that you want to, and the only way you can come up with that understanding is that you don't have the spirit of the Most High. You are yet carnal. And they're teaching this to people. Let's get two verses. We're at 16 after. I'm going to hold over just a little bit. Need to make this before we get out of here. I don't want to leave this undone or leave it at this point. Corinthians chapter 12. Get verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's get verse 13 because you just read, you got to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You just read, you have to have the Spirit of Christ in you. You just read that the same Spirit, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Messiah, dwell in you. If you don't understand that this is all one in the self same Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, not two, not three, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Not two spirits, not three spirits, not four spirits, one. Got to always keep that in front of you. One last read. Who is that spirit? That one spirit. Now Yah is that spirit. And where the spirit of Yah is, there is liberty. So I'm not going to say Lord here. Because Lord is a title, not a name. The same spirit that was in Messiah, the same spirit that you and I have to be born of, is the spirit of Yah. And that's by his spirit are we going to be resurrected. But if you don't have his spirit, you ain't getting up in the first resurrection. Everybody going to get up that ain't already risen in the second resurrection. But he says, without his spirit, you can't even properly discern the scriptures. You don't know what you don't know because you don't know it. He has to reveal it. And if we don't have his spirit, then he don't reveal it to us. We get some understanding, we just don't get truth. And if you don't have the truth, this is how, so you don't go a-whoring after other gods. Thessalonians chapter 2. The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this will be it for tonight. Still have about A lot on this topic. Okay, well, we will get more into it tomorrow morning. Well, they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. See, you can believe not the truth and be damned. And the only way that you can get truth is through the Spirit of the Most High. Can't do it of our own selves. Got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Yah is that Spirit. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear the Most High and keep His commandments. Don't go a-whoring after other Elohim by following the ways of this world, by celebrating the things that this world celebrates. The Most High has given us every one of His and every one of His Sabbaths that He wants us to obey, that He wants us to observe. Fear Him and keep His commandments. Shalom, saints. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Without you.
Right. Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, Sister Denise, and everyone else on the line. Happy Sabbath and peace and blessings to you all. Enjoy your Sabbath. And let's see, where am I at?